Thank you for being here this morning. The last probably 8 or 10 weeks, we've been having the opportunity to hear and see by personal testimony what God is doing in the lives of just ordinary people like you and me. Attenders, members of Living Well Church, for those of you who have given your testimony already, thank you. It's just something about seeing God at work in other people that is inspiring. Amen?
Amen?
Haven't you enjoyed the testimonies? But for me, it's been more than just enjoying them. It's been heart-changing, life-changing for me. Because when I see God do something in your life that you thought was impossible, and maybe I even thought was impossible, it helps me to see that as He moves in your life, anything is possible. Amen, Rod?
Amen.
Amen. How many days? 315. Yes! For those who don't know what 315 means, would you share just a few words? Praise the Lord. It's all Him. And every time Rod and I get together, He gives me how many days? Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, we've been praying for Carol back here. Less than a week ago, she lost all feeling in her feet. And was it Saturday night? We ask the Lord to do His will in your life. Yeah. And if that included healing and restoration of your feet, we'd be okay with that. Amen. And so thank you for your prayers. Look what God is doing. Amen. Some of the things and the successes and the victories that God is doing are a little too private for you to share, but nonetheless great mountain-moving experiences. Amen?
Amen?
And we give all glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus, thus our name, the Living Well, is the Living Well. And Jesus says, when you drink the water I give, wells of water will spring up within you to everlasting life. So Jesus encourages us to drink from the water that He gives. And we believe that when Jesus is invited into our lives, when we invite Him in, He begins a healing and restoration process, help and healing in every area of our life. It includes our emotions, our social life, our mental life, our finances, everything. Now we may have locked doors in our life that we're not ready to give Him entrance into yet, but He patiently, like the woman at the well, begins to interact with us about the possibility of His help and healing, even behind that locked door in my life, right? And this morning, before I bring the morning message, I'd like to welcome Cheryl Browers to come and share what God's doing in her life. Would you welcome Cheryl this morning?
Good morning. My name is Cheryl. Went a little too fast there. I'm honored to stand before you to share how my tests have become my testimony. I have to say this is the most difficult, beautiful, profound, heart-wrenching journey I have taken. Thanks, Shelley, I might need those tissues. I have spent many weeks opening my heart to our Heavenly Father and seeking His guidance through every word, feeling, and moment in this testimony. I didn't know it, but at a very young age, I started building up a wall to keep people from seeing who I was, broken and incomplete. This wall started brick by brick. As I stand before you, telling you about my tests, I will be building that very wall that I kept up for most of my life. Heavenly Father, let's do this, you and I. Please empty me of myself, fill me with you as I give this testimony. I'm so nervous. It is only in you that I will find strength to stand before my brothers and sisters, thank you, and share what you have done and who I've become in you. My life started out as many others. Two people fell in love. There was just a slight difference than some. My dad was already married to another woman. My dad and his wife had three kids, and another one was born a month after I was. You see, I've always been a constant reminder of the pain that was caused in a marriage. I don't know if you ever had someone look at you daily with a pain so deep in their eyes you can never fully wash it clean. I have. My mother tried to love me enough for both parents. I can't imagine the pain and loneliness raising two kids on her own. She had two girls that were quite the overachievers. I remember a story of how my sister, Brandy, opened the kitchen cabinets so I could climb up them to get us some cookies. In the process, we dumped flour everywhere. My mom was left to clean up a mess that was made. I can see her now, looking like she just gotten flour bombed. Fast forward a few years, I went to see my dad and his family after school until my mom got home. Most days I would come home crying, insecure and broken down. But my mom would try and build me back up again. Then a man came into mine and my sister's life, which was great. Like I said, my mom had two overachievers on her hand. A short time after, my stepdad, Tim, moved in. My sister moved out to live with her dad. We saw little of each other. It would take decades for us to kindle our relationship. Kind of glad I wrote brick on there. Years later, my mom, stepdad, and my life changed forever. One day while I was at school, I was called into a counselor's office as allegations of abuse against my stepfather were brought to light. I remember being so scared, feeling so alone. I didn't know what to do or say. I was so young. I can tell you I was a cause of negatively affecting the life of another. That kind of pain never goes away. You feel like you can never make it right. I was not allowed back home to live with my mom and stepdad. I moved into my dad's house. It was made clear I wasn't wanted. Kind of forgot to do that, sorry. Shortly after I moved in with my dad. We were packed up. I moved an hour and a half away from my mom. My dad changed my name in the school system. I was told I would have the same last name as my siblings. This was to hide that I was different. I was never allowed to speak about my mom or even tell anyone about her. I had held everything inside, and nobody was ever able to seal the real me. I hid the secret inside that was so profound. To hide such a secret at a young age creates a lot of social barriers. As time passed, my brother and sister and I learned at a very young age to make it look like everything was okay on the outside. You always have to have a happy look on your face no matter what you were facing. We portrayed the picture of perfect kids. We had it down pat, because man, if we didn't look out. So many people would tell us that our dad had such well-behaved kids. Little did they know, we were mentally and physically torn down. Our home life consisted of us staying up late with a father who was drunk until 1, 2, or 3 o'clock in the morning when we had school the next day. We had access to alcohol and drugs that we experimented with a lot. That was a road my brother never got off of. He died at the age of 24. My brother and sister and I learned that we had to be strong for each other and be there for each other because no one else knew the battles that we faced. There was one night I was over at a friend's house and I had to leave because my dad had been drinking and got violent. My brother wouldn't allow us to go back home. Someone came to talk to us, and I was told, Cheryl, if you were there, this wouldn't have happened. It was my fault that my dad had gotten violent. The words were like, stupid, you'll never do it. We're constant in our home. I was over at my older sister's house when her boyfriend decided to be completely inappropriate. I came home and told my brother. He took my sister and I to tell her dad. Our dad called the police, and we watched as her boyfriend was arrested. Later, I was told that if I wasn't so beautiful, nobody would do that to me. I didn't want to be beautiful anymore, at all. I got to see my mom once a month. My stomach would hurt so bad when she had to leave. She had no idea the kind of emotional pain that we faced. On those visits, she gave me enough love and built me up enough so when I was alone in my own thoughts, I wouldn't think about harming myself. I'd heard of this person called God and often wondered where he was at. Why was he doing this to me? Then one day, my sister introduced me to a guy. He was so interesting, I fell asleep while we were talking, as he was talking to me. That relationship grew and strengthened over time. Before I graduated from high school, I moved in with Brian and his parents and saw a glimpse of what a united family looked like. Finally, someone that loved me for me. When I looked into their eyes, I didn't see sadness or pain that I caused. I was so angry at God for everything that he did. I correlated my father, or God, with my father. It was so easy for me to put them in the same playing field. I called my dad when he was in the hospital. He answered the phone. Hello, he said in a raspy, frail voice. I said, hi, Dad. It's Cheryl, your daughter. He said, I don't have a daughter named Cheryl, and hung up the phone. Shortly after, he died. This was a man that said he would love me unconditionally. I guess the conditions were never truly right in my favor. This broadened the barrier between God and I. Steve and Stephanie Scott invited us. Actually, I think I missed one somewhere along the way, so I just might stack one up there and think I wasn't supposed to say that one. It was the first time I entered a church in my adult life and heard a sermon. I don't remember what Pastor John preached about that day. I do remember BJ being very young and very vocal. But every time BJ would get vocal, he would see Pastor John's face just light up. Brian and I enjoyed church, and I enjoyed hearing about how God worked in the Scots' lives. Brian often talked about God like he was some great healer of sorts, but surely God would never love me. I didn't mind having a relationship with people who believed in God, but no way was I ever going all in. Little did I know. Brian and BJ went to church for years without me. I would stay home. When I did go, I didn't know what to do. I had no idea what to say. I'm not the social one in our marriage, that's for sure. I would hear about how God heals, but when I read the Bible, I tried a few times. I would feel like I was being condemned, like somebody was standing over at me, yelling at me. As I stand behind this wall that took over 2 decades to build, that has helped protect me, people can't see my emotions, how I'm feeling, and what's really going on in my life. But there's only one problem with that. I can't see what's going on in yours either. Brian, quit picking your nose. Oh, sorry. I would love to come crashing through this wall. Our Father is nothing short of wonderful. He knew I couldn't do it by myself. He sent help to tear down this wall in the form of friends, family, members of our church, and the Holy Spirit. Brian, Hayden, and BJ, will you please come remove a brick? Brian has never missed an opportunity to show me God's love, support, and understanding. God knew I would need a man in my life that could find faith in all he did, that would see the best in me when I saw the worst. Brian has always been so patient about my walk and forever encouraging but never pushing me. Even when he would attend church, he would come home and tell me about the sermon. He never made me feel guilty about not going. Hayden and BJ have made me be able to feel unconditional love. Not a day goes by that I don't thank God for them. They can bring a smile to my face, no matter how bad the circumstance. They have made me seek to become a better person, because I don't ever want them to question who God is and how he loves. I want them to know how perfect they are in his eyes and in mine. Pastor John, Jeanette, will you please come remove a brick? One evening, John and Jeanette came over to our house and they'd asked me if I'd ever allowed God into my heart. I said no, I'd never have. I didn't think God would want me. They reassured me that he did. All four of us got on our knees that night. My life was saved. I asked the Holy Spirit to come into my life. Pastor John has always been an encouragement to me, even when I'm not the best student. Pastor John baptized Brian and I together on April 2nd, 2006. It's taken me a little while to get here. Our Father had some work to do in this heart, and with your help, it's come quite a long way. Jeanette recently encouraged me to join Celebrate Recovery. It was a huge part of where I am on my walk. She has become someone whose advice I respect and admire. And I know she's always good to throw in a good joke for me. Lisa and Deb, will you please come remove a brick? Lisa has been a steadfast encouragement to Billy, to me, and I believe it was completely God-driven. I was led to call Lisa one day. When I say led, I mean led. I'm pretty sure he picked up that phone, dialed her number, and spoke every word that I had to say to her. I've never felt anything like it. The phone call put us in each other's lives, that I will be forever eternally grateful. Last year, Deb furnished all the plants in our garden. Little did she know, that garden wouldn't just grow tomatoes to can. Deb and I have talked about a lot of things on many occasions. And when we talk, it's always, I'm weeding the garden and pulling out all the bad stuff so the good stuff can grow. Steve and Stephanie, will you please come remove a brick? Steve and Stephanie have truly been God sent. I remember years ago when they had me listen to a song in the downstairs of their home. It was called Broken Girl by Casting Crowns. It was the first Christian song I ever truly related to, and it touched my heart on so many levels. They have been with me on this journey. They have always loved me in spite of myself. And when I was in valleys, they were a constant love and support, and always showed me the love of God in all they did. Ginny and Leslie, will you please come remove a brick? Ginny and Leslie have helped me in so many ways. Our friendship started when they invited me to a girls' craft weekend. I was all in, but I was terrified. As I said, I'm really not the social one in our marriage. I tend to stray away from social settings. It's now one of the top moments of my life. I had a great time. There was no pressure. They liked me for me. The relationship has continued to grow and flourish. I love them greatly. Anytime, day or night, they're constantly offering me encouragement and love in all they do. Ginny actually helped me put down a lot of these words because I couldn't put from here to paper. They are truly genuine people who love me for me. I don't know what, I think we missed a brick or somewhere along the way, so I'm just going to improvise. This brick right here is for my mom, my sister Brandy, and my in-laws. I know they're watching. I love you. My mom has given me strength and courage through life, everything that life throws at me. She's shown me how to love unconditionally. She has, by loving me every single day of my life. My mom and my sister are my best friends that God gave me to stand through the test of time. My mom is forever encouraging me to strong in who I am, face my fears, and live the best life that I can. My mom also was there to restore a relationship with my stepfather. We had a great bond before he passed away. I miss our conversations daily. My sister Brandy is also strong. She has shown me constant love and support My sister, like everyone who has a sister knows, can say things to me that nobody else can. She won't let me see my failures. She reminds me of my strengths. No matter how far she is away, she needs to know what's going on in my life. My sister is a huge part of my life. We have a bond that no one could ever break because she and I will never allow that to happen. My in-laws, they took me in before I was even out of high school. They showed me love and support for most of my life. They have always been there cheering us on. No matter what is going on in our lives, they've shown God's love. Brian's mom is a prayer warrior. She's absolutely phenomenal. She never misses a chance to let somebody know that she's praying for him. Brian's dad is determined. It's contagious. His determination has gotten me through some very rough times. I was in my car about a year ago. I'd been listening to Caleb for quite some time. We weren't attending church. I was in a valley. I had no idea how I had gotten there or what I would do to strengthen my relationship with God. I mean, I asked him into my heart and wanted to lead a life that was right. But how? Then a song came on the radio. I heard it before. I'd sang it a few times. But it was then that I opened my life completely to him. Where you go, I'll go. Where you'll stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. It was then that I truly got on my knees and asked him to completely take everything away that was broken. That was incomplete. And restore me and him. I couldn't do it by myself anymore. And I was so tired. God, please help me remove this brick. I would love to smash it, but I really can't. Let me tell you what God did after that. We came back home to Living Well Church. Ella came up to me the first time and said, Cheryl, we've been praying for you to come back. Somebody had been praying for me. Thank you. Sarah asked me to do a Bible study with her. I was all in. It was getting back to the basics Bible study. And let me tell you, I was all in, like I'd never been before. I had gotten past not being able to read the Bible. But to actually have some feelings into it and wanting to read it more, I was like, this is what it feels? I want this all the time. I didn't stop listening to Christian music. And after a while, I knew quite a bit of songs. And while I would sing them out, I would get goosebumps. Not like goosebumps on your arm, but like, I mean, all over goosebumps, head, toe, I mean, everything. I told Brian, Steve, Steph, Sarah and Nathan, hey, I think I kind of feel led to be singing. Sarah let Pastor John know that. One day he asked me, so when can we put you on for singing? Oh, whoa, I kind of wasn't prepared for that, but God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. I still can't sing by myself, but he changed my heart. I am up here, and it's because of him. The first song Steve and Steph, Brian and I sang was "You Are." You are the song I'm singing. You are the air I'm breathing. We had a huge test of faith. Our son needed to be taken out of public school. We felt that we needed to put him into Christian school. We had no idea where the money was going to come from. We fought. I fought about what we were going to do. We'd found out shortly before we were supposed to start school that we weren't going to get any scholarship money for the school. Brian and I decided that that's what God wanted, and that's what we were going to do. 2 weeks later, I received a promotion, and that promotion helped cover his school costs. That is only in God. My journal. I love my journal. Oh, do I love my journal. I love recording the times that I get with him and everything that he has done for me. One time my journal was lost and I just felt lost. It's like your Bible. You just can't lose it. It's got to be right with me all the time. I love being at church. If I'm not here, a little piece of me is empty inside. This is where I need to be every Sunday. This is where the healing starts, stops, and continues. I stand before you and I'm broken. But I am perfectly broken in Christ. God does not make mistakes. Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He put me here for a purpose. Only he knows what it is. I'm a masterpiece in God's eyes. God changed my life. He took that wall and made it into a foundation. Thank you, Lord, for sending me the foundation in the form of relationships so I can continue to grow in you more and more every single day. We did it.
Thank you, Cheryl. Yes, thank the Lord. As we celebrate this morning, we acknowledge that it's all about Jesus, and he is what brings about the help and healing in our lives and makes it possible through his Spirit.